Let's turn now to Yemen. Saudi-led airstrikes continue in the country in an attempt to push back Houthi rebels who drove the Yemeni president from the country's capital in mid-March. And as the conflict escalates, groups have filed at least two federal lawsuits accusing the U.S. government of abandoning Yemeni Americans on the ground there. But the State Department says rescue operations aren't an option now because the situation in Yemen is, quote, quite dangerous and unpredictable. So, a question looming over the Obama administration: just how destabilized can Yemen get before the U.S. must get more involved? Jim Walsh is an analyst with MIT's Security Studies program, and he joins us on the program. Jim, welcome back.
Good to be with you.
So, Jim, first let's start out with the news today about other nations that aren't getting involved, namely Pakistan, because the Saudis have urged Pakistan to join the coalition. Today, Pakistan voted to stay out. This must be a big blow to Saudi Arabia. And what does it tell you about the strength of the coalition fighting those Houthi rebels in Yemen?
Well, I think it tells you that the center of gravity in that coalition is going to be Saudi Arabia. It's the wealthiest country in the group. It spends more on its military by multiples than any of the others. The Pakistanis and the Saudis are political allies. They have been. They will be in the future. And my guess is, because this was a legislature's vote, you know, the military and the intelligence services in Pakistan will have a say here, and they may change that. But Pakistan has its own fish to fry. It has its own problems. So I never really thought it was in the cards that they would supply a lot of troops or a lot of hardware.
So their choice today doesn't make any difference in the U.S. calculus about whether or not to get more involved in Yemen.
No, if anything, it probably makes it easier. Now, as you say, the U.S. is involved somewhat. It is providing intelligence support, and it has been reported that the U.S. is supplying precision-guided munitions, which hopefully, if used, would mean there would be fewer civilian casualties, because one of my concerns here is an air war run by the Saudis is going to kill a lot of people that just aren't rebels.
So, Jim, why in general does the conflict in Yemen present such a difficult situation for the United States?
Oh, man, you know, there's a lot going on here, and a lot of it is historical. It has been a problem country for a long, long, long time. Remember, it used to be ruled by a dictator who was in power for 30 years, and it was during that period that he repressed the Houthis. And then once he was gone, it created a vacuum, and that meant Al-Qaeda could play, it could meant the Houthis could play, and the sort of weak government established by the UN, but was always playing catch-up. And so you have a lot of entities, foreign players, domestic players. It's complex, and it's – I think ultimately, though, if you ask me, it's the Houthis failed to show restraint. For a while, it looked like they weren't going to make the power grab, that they were going to share power with the government and work things out, and then – it started a spiral, you know, earlier this year.
Right. So, when you talk about all the regional powers at play, we have to talk about Iran for a second, right?
I mean,
on Wednesday on PBS's NewsHour, Secretary of State John Kerry said that the U.S. knew Iran had been providing military support to the Houthi rebels in Yemen. But he also said that Washington, quote, is not going to stand by while the region is destabilized. So in your mind, what does that mean?
I don't know what the U.S. can do in Yemen, whether it's a good idea to get involved in what might be just a plain old civil war. Do the Iranians support the Houthis? Of course they do. They're a Shia minority that was long oppressed. Are the Houthis puppets that Iran, Tehran dangles on a string? I don't think so. The Houthi have been around a long time. They're the strongest fighting force. They have their own, you know, they're domestically entrenched there. So can Iran influence them? Yes. Can they tell them what to do? I doubt that's the case.
Are there other ways beyond direct military involvement that the U.S. could further, you know, influence the situation at all?
Well, now that we've picked a side, it's sort of hard to be then the negotiator, the interlocutor. That's going to have to be someone else because we've already chosen a side in this. I would hope we continue to put a focus on humanitarian aid. You know, the Red Cross has complained that Saudi Arabia has acted in ways that have made those supply difficult. I guess some of this was resolved, but it's a bad situation. So if the U.S. can, even if it's on one side, can press for the sides to pause so that we can get some humanitarian aid, that would be helpful.
Continuing unfinished business from the Arab Spring just endlessly reverberates.
Absolutely.
Jim Walsh, an authority on international security issues at the Security Studies Program at MIT. Thanks as always, Jim.
Thank you.